Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the New York Times Travel section, read by Michelle Wexler. This is being recorded on April 5th, 2024. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. First, from the Frugal Traveler, Standby Cruising, a new option for bargain seekers, written by Elaine Glusak. And Desert Drives and Sea Lion Dives, The Enduring Draws of La Paz, Mexico, written by Lauren Sloss, and following up with miscellaneous articles. We begin with the first article in the Frugal Traveler, Standby Cruising, a new option for bargain seekers. Are you a flexible traveler? Holland America's Standby Cruises may be for you. The cost? $49 a day, excluding fees, taxes, and extras. The catch? It might be a hair-raising, last-minute scramble. This by Elaine Glusak. Elaine Glusak is the Frugal Traveler columnist, focusing on budget-friendly tips and journeys. In February, Barb McGowan took a seven-day cruise on Holland America Line, visiting the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and the Dominican Republic for just $343, or $49 a day, excluding taxes, port fees, and extras. By comparison, Holland America currently lists a seven-day Caribbean itinerary in October from about $700. The catch? She had just 48 hours notice. Ms. McGowan, a 64-year-old from Naples, Florida, who runs a restaurant franchise, took one of the line's new standby cruises, which are aimed at travelers who live near departure ports and intended to fill ship vacancies. "I look for deals, and this was an especially good experience," Ms. McGowan said, praising the food and entertainment. "I was impressed enough to put down a deposit on a future cruise." A way to keep ships full. Holland America introduced its standby program last August to maximize ship occupancy, knowing that cancellations are inevitable. So far, the rest of the cruise industry has not followed its lead. If cancellations are within a week or two of sailing, it's difficult to resell that space in the open market, said Dan Ruff, the vice president of revenue management at Holland America. In the same way that airlines oversell seats, cruise lines may compensate for cancellations by overselling staterooms. Filling in with standbys, however, reduces Holland America's reliance on overselling, which runs the risk of bumping passengers to distant departures or potentially offering generous cash incentives to coax volunteers to cancel. Though the company does not heavily promote the new practice, it has attracted a following among the thrifty by dangling a bargain rate, $49 a person, whether sharing a cabin or traveling solo, before taxes and fees, on a web page that lists available departure dates to attract flexible travelers. Standbys should expect an inside cabin, according to the company, though ocean view and veranda cabins have been assigned. The company declined to say how many standby cabins it has offered. $49 per person per day is pretty exceptional, said Colleen McDaniel, the editor of CruiseCritic.com, a website that reviews cruises, noting that the price covers all meals and entertainment. You can't find a cheaper rate at a land resort for what's included. In 2023, the average nightly rate for a hotel room in the United States was nearly $156, according to STR, a data analytics firm that monitors the hospitality industry. To participate, travelers choose an itinerary from the standby list on the website. Current embarkation ports include Boston, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Montreal, Quebec City, San Diego, Seattle, Vancouver, British Columbia, and Whittier, Alaska, and pay for the trip in advance by calling Holland America or booking through a travel advisor. There are no refunds for standby cruisers who want to back out. However, if the gamble fails to pay off and the cruise line cannot offer a cabin to someone on the standby list, it issues a refund. The company says standby offerings are added on a rolling basis and usually lists itineraries within 2 to 3 months of departure. Current offerings include 7-day sailings in Alaska's Inside Passage from April through September and 7 to 11-day trips cruising the coast of New England and Canada's maritime provinces between May and October. Proximity is a bonus. Standby cruisers don't learn of their acceptance or denial until a week to 2 days before departure, complicating transportation arrangements. Last-minute airfare could offset the savings on a cruise, wrote Crystal Seaton, the owner of Road to Relaxation Travel, a travel agency based in Raleigh, North Carolina, in an email. Though she has not booked a client on a standby sailing yet, she surmised that it is intended for travelers who can drive to a port. We were lucky. We found out Tuesday we were going on a Friday 3 p.m. sailing, said Sheila Valoni, 66, of Claremont, Florida, who, with her husband, spent 9 days aboard a Holland America ship in the Southern Caribbean in February by going standby. Before being cleared, she reserved a parking spot near the ship dock in Fort Lauderdale, which would have set her back about $6 if she canceled. She also kept their vacation clothes ready to go at the last minute for the 3.5-hour drive to port. Booking a refundable airline ticket, or at least one that guarantees a credit in loyalty points or cash in the event of cancellation, is one way travelers who must fly can take advantage of the deal. For her standby sailing, Ms. McGowan drove 90 minutes from her home to the ship in Fort Lauderdale. But her travel companion was coming from Indiana, so when she joined the standby list a few months before the departure date, she booked her friend a Southwest Airlines flight using frequent flyer points that would be refunded if the last-minute cruise didn't come through. Avoiding extra charges. Once on board, charges for extras like cabin upgrades, Wi-Fi, alcohol, and shore excursions can inflate the bill, though the thriftiest travelers try to avoid them. Ms. McGowan sprang for the $17.50 a day charge for an upgraded drink package, basic non-alcoholic drinks are included in the cruise, and took one shore excursion focused on coffee growing, which she deemed a good value at $89. On their Caribbean cruise, the Valonis asked around for recommendations for good beaches, where they went to relax on port days and waited until they were on land to check emails in order to avoid paying for Wi-Fi on the ship. "We didn't miss it at all," Ms. Valoni said. "For beverages, we would wait until happy hour, when it was buy one, get one free." Will other companies follow suit? To date, no other cruise lines have adopted standby programs. Princess Cruises said it did not plan to offer cabins on a standby basis, but noted that it already offers last-minute deals, which tend to run about $50 to $60 per passenger per day. For example, a 7-day Alaska sailing from Vancouver to Anchorage, departing on May 8th, is listed at $399 a person in a double occupancy cabin. Several other major cruise lines did not respond to inquiries about potentially adopting standby programs, though operators like Royal Caribbean and Norwegian Cruise Line also offer last-minute deals on their websites. We would be surprised to see many mainstream cruise lines begin to adopt a similar model to the standby system, wrote Kimberly Coyne, the head of sales and content strategy for CruiseLine.com, a cruise review site, in an email. She said the standby fares might be financially unsustainable for cruise lines and cited the potential that travelers might become too accustomed to late booking deals. More ways to save. With the recent surge in cruise bookings, companies are discounting less, said Ms. McDaniel of CruiseCritic.com. She identified more reliable ways to get a deal compared with going standby, such as booking during wave season, a sales period that generally runs January through March, or taking a repositioning cruise, in which a ship relocates from one region to another seasonally. A repositioning itinerary might sail in the fall from Alaska to the Caribbean via the Panama Canal. It's not unusual to see a repositioning cruise at less than $75 per night, Ms. McDaniel said, noting that other expenses, such as an airline itinerary into one city and returning from another, may cost more than a standard round-trip ticket. Repositioning cruises tend to stop at fewer ports and add more shipboard enrichment programs, such as lectures and activities like cake decorating classes and craft spirits tastings. For a lot of people, the ship is the destination, and this is the perfect activity for people who like to be on the ship, she said. That story from the Frugal Traveler, Standby Cruising, a new option for bargain seekers. Next up, Desert Drives and Sea Lion Dives, the enduring draws of La Paz, Mexico. New hotels and destination-worthy restaurants now complement the ever-appealing outdoors surrounding La Paz, the capital of Baja California Sur. This by Lauren Sloss. For our last night in La Paz, Mexico, we kept it simple. A couple of cans of cold Pacifico, a bench on the Malecón, the city's waterfront promenade, and the sunset glowing orange over the shimmering silver-blue Sea of Cortez. My husband Alex and I had spent nearly a week taking scenic desert drives and lazy city strolls, visiting stunning beaches and mountains, and enjoying a steady diet of fish tacos and mezcalitas. But now we were salt-coated and sinking into a blissful exhaustion that comes only after a day spent scuba diving. La Paz is the capital of Baja California Sur, the Mexican state where some 42% of the land and water are natural protected areas. And the city lies on the Sea of Cortez, also known as the Gulf of California, considered one of the world's most diverse marine environments. Travelers have long been drawn to the region's glorious outdoors, a distinctive mix of ocean and red-hued desert, to spend days not only diving, but also sailing, kayaking, fishing, kite surfing, mountain biking, camping, and hiking. In recent years, the city has maintained its strong commitment to environmental conservation, but has also welcomed new restaurants and accommodations, meeting a growing desire among many travelers to Mexico for authentic experiences found beyond the walls of an enormous resort. This is an adventure destination, said Luz Maria Zepeda, the director of the city's tourism board. We want people who want to explore, who want to preserve the environment the way it is, and to help us protect it. Growth, but kept in check. Home to around 300,000 people, La Paz has a decidedly laid-back feel. The Peace, it's aptly named, and is often overshadowed by Los Cabos, a municipality on the state's southernmost tip that includes San Jose del Cabo and Cabo San Lucas, as well as by tiny Todos Santos, a stylish destination for art and food on the Pacific coast. Indeed, while La Paz had a record-breaking 600,000 tourists in 2023, Los Cabos, through cruises and air alone, welcomes 3 million travelers annually. La Paz's comparatively modest number of visitors is in part a question of access. La Paz's airport almost exclusively serves domestic destinations, with direct flights primarily from Mexico City and Guadalajara. Most international visitors opt to fly to the larger Los Cabos International Airport and take the 2 to 3 hour drive to La Paz. The drive from the airport is its own worthwhile journey, with routes running along the Pacific coast through Todos Santos and El Pescadero, home to Playa Los Cerritos, a popular surfing destination. A slightly longer but epically beautiful drive winds through the Sierra La Laguna mountain range. La Paz is a walkable city with good roads and ample services. It does not have any large resorts, and there are no current plans to build any. This is not a destination with aspirations of imitating the all-inclusive, tourist-heavy spring break vibes long associated with Cabo. Instead of a waterfront dominated by restricted private access, La Paz has the Malecón, which was renovated in 2020 and 2021. Last April, a proposal to build a large port for cruise ships was withdrawn after local pushback. "We don't want massive tourism," said Ivan Felix, the manager of the tour and travel department of the La Paz Tourism Board. "The idea is not to grow in numbers, but in quality." That has translated to a bevy in smaller, higher-end hotel openings. Hotel Indigo, formerly the Costa Baja Resort and Spa, was renovated and reopened by IHG in December. And Republica Pagana, an adults-only boutique hotel with a rooftop bar and restaurant, welcomed its first guests in January. Grupo Habita opened the Baja Club Hotel in a former colonial villa in 2021 on the Malecón. Hilton plans to complete a renovation of the historic La Perla Hotel, which first opened in 1940, by the end of this year. That sophisticated growth can also be found in the city's culinary scene, which continues to be dominated by the region's fresh seafood, flour tortillas, and ranch-driven fare like meat-filled molcajetes and snack-sized burritos. Fried fish tacos remain stalwarts, from street stands to casual eateries like Taco Fish La Paz, featured on the Netflix series Taco Chronicles, and Toto Frito, where you can try sustainably farmed totoaba, a fish native to the Sea of Cortez. We feasted on a variety of chilaquiles at Maria California, a popular brunch spot, and inhaled spicy shrimp aguachile at a beach stand at Playa El Tecolote, just north of Balandra. At Los 32 Sabores, a memorable dinner of manta ray and tripe tacos on fresh tortillas and Caesar salads made tableside hinted at the city's ambition to become a bona fide food and drink destination. Gratitude Coffee Makers, a coffee bar a few blocks off the Malecón, was opened by the husband and wife team, Sergio Hernandez and Gloria Oliveira, in 2022. The couple work closely with Mexican coffee farmers, ensuring both quality beans and fair labor practices, and host art exhibitions and events at their cafe. They have noticed a decided shift in the restaurant scene in recent years. "It's definitely developing. There are a lot of people from the mainland that are coming here and opening restaurants. You can find a lot more things to do," said Mr. Hernandez, who is from Mexico City. Some of that diversity can be found nearby at Tiger Club, which serves Southeast Asian fare and natural wine. The restaurant is housed on the back patio of Casa Nopal, a showroom and shop specializing in handmade goods from Mexican artisans, both of which opened in 2022. Nearby, Sunrise Sunset is a natural wine bar that opened in December. Nemi offers riffs on traditional dishes, which might include fresh fish served raw or topped with Hoja Santa butter, duck confit and flour tortillas, or pork belly served with beans and nopales. The restaurant is the first solo project of Alejandro Villagomez, who in 2011 moved from Mexico City, where he was chef de cuisine of Pujol. "La Paz is a magical place," Mr. Villagomez said. "We are surrounded by sea and desert, and we strive to find the best ingredients, both inside and outside the city." White sand, cobalt waters. Still, For all the new hotels and destination-worthy restaurants, the natural world remains La Paz's main draw. Chrissy Capilano, a certified master scuba diver trainer from Long Island in New York, has been living in the city since 2018. "You have to plan multiple trips to see everything," she said of the area's rich marine life. "There's a time that's good for whale sharks, for whales, for sea lions." I met Ms. Capilano when she led our day-long dive trip with Cary Dive Center that included a surprise sighting of humpback whales and a swim with whale sharks, the wide-mouthed, filter-feeding fish that can grow up to 30 feet. The rest of the day was spent around the islands of Espiritu Santo and Partida. The archipelago is part of a UNESCO biosphere reserve, a national park, and a 45-minute ride from the city. Diving around a protected sea lion colony called Los Islotes. The marine mammals didn't hesitate to approach our group, performing flips, and in some cases, biting onto flippers and dive hoses. Perhaps as spectacular were the schools of sardines, glinting silver in the sun as they whirled around us like confetti. Care for the environment is a common talking point on dive trips I've been on elsewhere in Mexico and around the world. Here, it was an actionable part of the agenda. Daily access to whale sharks, which migrate in order to feed in the waters right off the city, is limited to a small number of tour boats at set times. As we boarded our boat after our first dive at Los Islotes, someone spotted a sea lion pup who had been wounded by a fishing hook. Ms. Capilano quickly sent photos and videos to Rescate de Lobos Marinos, an organization that helps monitor and treat sea lions. Cary also made a point to provide reusable water bottles for the day. The state as a whole has been strictly limiting single-use plastics since 2018. It's not hard to see how and why visitors fall in love with these cobalt waters and why local residents are so protective of them. Espiritu Santo is a geological layer cake carved with countless small anchorages, beloved by sailors and fishing enthusiasts. But there's also much to explore on land. The island is a popular destination for hiking and glamping, while Playa Balandra, famous for its white sand and shallow turquoise waters, is consistently named one of the most beautiful beaches in the country. An easy 20-minute drive from the city center, it is also a protected area and limits the number of visitors allowed per day, with timed entries at 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. La Ventana, a 40-minute drive, is a famous kite surfing destination. There's mountain biking, dune buggying, hiking, and camping, too. You can pick a beach depending on the wind. There are waterfalls and hot springs. Every sunset here is usually amazing, Ms. Capilano said. There's just so much nature to be enjoyed. That story, Desert Drives and Sea Lion Dives, The Enduring Draws of La Paz, Mexico, written by Lauren Sloss. And that's all we have time for. Thank you for joining us for the New York Times travel section, read by Michelle Wexler.